What's up, St. Andrew's family? We're back with another episode of How the Sausage is Made.
Woo!
Little behind the scenes look at sermon preparation. I'm Pastor Ethan.
I'm Pastor Matt.
And Pastor Matt, it's kind of funny. It's been a while since we've made our little ongoing joke about, being in the studio in
That's
Cali
right.
and
That's right. The
looking at the palm trees and stuff.
Burbank studio, but it's for half of it's almost true today for half of us.
Right, exactly. I'm in Phoenix and I've got palm trees behind me. And
I can see it.
I
That's
had
great.
no idea that Phoenix had palm trees. This was like a total shock to me. I had no idea. So just out here enjoying the views, enjoying the hot weather, and it's great.
Yeah, man. Well, and you're there for the Synodical Convention. Every 3 years,
That's
they have a big
right.
Synodical Convention. It's important. I mean, I appreciate the Synodical Convention because there's a mix of we want to be absolutely faithful to the Word of God, to our Lutheran traditions, to our confessions. At the same time, we definitely want to make sure that moving the ball forward. So we got to stay faithful and we got to move the ball forward and get people to hear the gospel and all those things. That's really a good thing. Yeah,
And
for sure.
it's encouraging me. There's 1,500 people here all crammed in this giant room, and everybody here is just cares so deeply about proclaiming the truth
Yeah.
to the people. And there's varying opinions on, all the nitpicky details on exactly how to go about doing that, but overall people here just want to proclaim the gospel. So
Yeah,
it's a
incredible unity.
lot to
There's some
be.
church bodies that are arguing about whether or not Jesus rose from the dead or whether the Word of God is authoritative. And we have our things that we kind of go back and forth about in our synod, but those aren't it, man. We're pretty rock solid on the things we need to be rock solid on, which I appreciate.
We
So,
really are our blessed church body. We get
yes.
to proclaim the truth of the scriptures, and that's what we're talking about today. That's what we talk about
Yes.
every week, with How the Sausage is Made, proclaiming the word. And I got to listen in to your sermon this week online.
Remote viewing,
Yeah, man. And just kind of getting back into the things you were preaching on in Psalm 89. We wrapped up book three. We listened to the words of Ethan, the
Ethan,
wise
yes.
Ethan,
That's right.
the
That's
Ezraite.
right.
And so could you just kind of step back into that sermon a little bit, and as
Yeah.
you're just a day out now, but reflecting on the preparation for that, and it's, I mean, just as a listener, it seemed like to come out so well.
I
Not
appreciate that.
that all your sermons aren't, just on fire, but seriously, something in particular about this week, everything right on. It's really easy to follow, and just like a true just pleasure to listen to.
I
So
appreciate you saying that, man.
that's
That's awful kind. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
absolutely.
No, it did take a while to zero in on it because I think at first I was thinking about the generations part of it, and then it was really tempting because we have so much information about King David's life, and actually it'd be a fun sermon to preach this way. And if I had to do it again, I'd probably do it this way. I just kind of wanted to go through each of the stages of David's life, just tell the story of David's life and talk about how God was steadfast to him and all those different parts, the ups and downs of it. But I really felt there was a need to kind of dive into that word chesed. I talk about that word a lot. It's like it's an unfamiliar word to the congregation, but I wanted to dive into it with kind of the understanding that we really can't explain it as much as we can show God's faithfulness kind of in the and I really want to focus on the one-sided nature of God's faithfulness and the inexplicable nature of God's love and faithfulness. So that was kind of end up being the focus. So I didn't tell David's whole story.
And re remind us those two, like the two ways you showed us God's chesed.
And they're not necessarily the stories that you hear in like Bible class or Sunday school or anything. It one was when God makes a covenant with Abraham, and instead of Abraham going through and making a promise to God, God like makes it so he can't move, and God goes through and makes a promise to Abraham. That was one of the big things. And then the other one was just a really kind of obscure deal at the end of Jacob's life. Jacob and, Israel, his name is Israel, and he asked Joseph, he says, when I die, don't let me, like, take me out of this land, bury me with my fathers. And then he has this, two words. He uses chesed, which is that love that we're talking about. And then in other words, emet, which is just like true, the true kindness, the true chesed is to do something for me after I die, because I can never repay you. I can't say thank you. I can't do anything. I just have to trust your goodness to take care of things that I can't take care of. And that's just a great example of how God loves us. He takes care of all the things we can't take care of. So.
Yeah, man, whenever you started describing going back to Abram and the kind of like the blood covenant and God going through the middle and saying, even if this covenant, knowing that the covenant was going to be broken,
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
and saying the punishment for the breaking of the covenant is going to be on me who passed through the blood. Like that was so cool to like hear that laid out like that. So
I
thank
love,
you for that.
No,
And
thanks, man.
then the way you've not then put it on us and help us to see it through our eyes, just by kind of calling us to like to share this truth with each other, to live in this truth, and then the story with Pastor Haverstock and the way you got to kind of just live in that kind of steadfast, enduring love that goes beyond just life as we know it right now. That was I really appreciated hearing your interaction with Pastor Haverstock.
I appreciate that, man. Dear man, dear brother. I actually just got off the phone with his family. His funeral's going to be at Emmanuel Des Plaines on Wednesday the 29th. So
Gotcha.
yeah, so we're kind of getting that
Gotcha.
planned up. No, but it was I enjoyed preaching it. Kind of was a little lost at first. I think it's funny, I kind of got insight on the direction to go from the Tuesday morning Bible class. I had them kind of share real quickly some thoughts about some things. That really helped me focus in. And then our staff meeting on Tuesday too, or Mondays, that's last week. I just kind of asked people, and it's the people helped me focus in, and you're part of that, so I really appreciate that. And then yeah, so it was a fun, actually, and really enjoyed preaching. I do have to laugh because you move around a lot during your sermons. I kind of stay put, and it's the person that notices that the most is Jon Snow, because if he
Oh,
runs the cameras, he has to follow you. And I ended up moving around a little bit during the service. I think during the last song, I had to go to the back to grab a glass of water or something. My throat was dry, and I saw John. I said, I know you miss Pastor Ethan, so I decided to run all over
That's
the
great. Yeah, man. Gotta keep him on
place
his
up there.
toes. Don't let
Oh,
him, you know,
don't let him get
sit
lazy.
idle
That's the
back
thing.
there.
Sit idle back there. That's right. Yeah, he's always just doing nothing.
No. John's
No,
constantly
he's
at
constantly
work, man.
working, man. Constantly working the boards,
But
trying to make us sound good.
right.
Oh, man. Well,
And before we transition, I did want to comment on the way you were describing. I mean, because this whole discussion is about like kind of look behind the scenes preparation and stuff. And I think we've commented on this before, but how much just like the living in the text throughout the week influences
yeah.
what eventually God puts on our heart to speak on the weekend. And one example is just the story with Paul, but also like you just said, kind of putting those ideas in the text before a Bible study and before friends, before the staff, and like having those conversations throughout the week and getting other people's insight and what sticks out to other people, like that is so influential and effective during the sermon prep process. Like, and I think we talked about it when we first started this whole podcast thing, is writing a sermon alone by yourself is
Yeah.
so like almost impossible. You know, I don't even know how what that would look like. So I'm glad you brought that up. Just the
No,
kind of
yeah.
collaborative nature of
Well, there's a relationship with other
it.
people, and then we know the people we're preaching to, they know us, and it all helps inform everything. When I was a guest preacher the other week, it would kind of struck me how hard it was. I
Right.
really don't know the people, you know, I don't really know what they're
Right.
going through. And it's a lot harder to preach somewhere else than it was to preach here. It's easy on one hand, 'cause you use all your best jokes or no one's heard them before, whatever. But
Right.
like, but
Yeah.
honestly, it's harder because you don't really know the people that well. But
It's
moving on
very
from mine
relatable.
now, we're going, it's kind of, this is, I think, the one time we're going from like one chapter to the next. We're just going from chapter 89 to chapter 90. And
Right.
you're leading us off. Now we're getting into the fourth book, which kind of goes on Deuteronomy. And I was just curious as to, I know it's early in the week and you're traveling, and so I don't know how far along you are in your study or you're thinking about this, but would love to hear some of your thoughts on Psalm 90 and kind of
Right.
what's bubbling up right now as you're studying it.
Right, a few so it's to correlate with numbers,
Or
right?
numbers, that's right. That's
Numbers.
right. Not
Okay. All
Deuteronomy. That,
right.
yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, you're
Just
right.
for
You're
my
right.
own sake, like I've been looking at numbers this week. Hopefully I'm not.
Yeah, no, I should know that the numbers is the
It's
fourth,
all
not
good.
Deuteronomy. Yeah,
It's all
yeah.
good. But something kind of cool is we go into another psalm written not by David. So we've heard a lot from David. We just heard from Ethan Ezrahite last week. Now we hear a psalm written by Moses, which is kind of cool. So it takes us just a timeline kind of way back. And Psalm 90 is one of these, I think, really just it's I think it's an expression of all things that just being a human in general, you kind of experience these things, especially a
Yeah.
Christian human, which is it acknowledges the ways that sometimes things happen to us and we see things, or maybe in fact God allows us to go through things that are really bad or just hard or
Yeah.
painful or hard to understand or that yeah just seem bad. But at the same time, it acknowledges that God is always still good. God is always faithful to his promises. That God loves us with that kind of love that you described for us, that chesed love.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of been a challenge over the last week or however long I've been kind of meditating on Psalm. I'm just trying to ask myself like the kinds of questions that what do people struggle with when it comes to God being a God who is sometimes okay leading us into uncomfortable, hard things that it's hard for us to see what's good in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it brings to mind, some of the harsh things that God does. It talks about God's judgment. It brings up God's wrath. It brings up the fact that God, it even says that God brings them affliction. Like God's the one who allows the affliction to come. And so how do we handle that? How do we respond to that? And those are the kinds of questions that I'm asking myself right now. Like, Aaron, asking God to give me the words to respond now,
Yeah, it's pretty heavy
So,
stuff. I mean,
yeah.
that's a heavy topic. And
Right.
the Book of Numbers is such a narrative book. It's also weird. Like I've always equated the Book of Numbers to Moby Dick, the book Moby Dick, because Moby Dick, there's all this like narration. You know, Herman Melville, there's all this narration about a
Yeah.
story, and then it just breaks, and it's like, and then this is how you hunt a whale, and they use this kind of harpoon, and this is a technique, and then it goes back into like the
Right.
narrative. And Numbers is like this crazy narrative, and there's like a big fight, and there's a war, and then it's like the candlesticks in the temple or the tabernacle will be 1.5 cubits high, and it's just
Right.
such a,
You're
it's
right.
so bizarre, but I just encompasses like all different styles, all different parts of life, and I think I
I
think
love that.
this psalm kind of does the same thing. I think the psalm is just kind of fits, like it's just telling us our story and that stuff, for we're gonna experience things that aren't great and God's there. And I don't know, it was kind of a, I was looking at Psalm 90 a little bit this morning, and it's kind of just enjoyed just kind of parsing through it. So
I appreciate that analogy of numbers because there is, because in numbers they're wandering, right? They're wandering
yes.
through the desert and it shouldn't take them 40 years to get to the promised land.
It shouldn't
It
take you 40
absolutely should
years
not.
to go that far. Yeah, that's right.
And that kind of it connects to that idea of like God allowing his people to just go through hard things, you know. But the book of Numbers, like you said, kind of does that. It wanders a little bit. It'll stop abruptly, you know, here and there to describe something that seems a little random. Maybe it sometimes seems like disconnected. And I think, and I'm starting to pick up like on maybe some of the intentionality behind that, because the human life is sometimes, you know, you're just unsure of what you're supposed to be doing, you're unsure of what God is doing, you're unsure why is God allowing this to happen. It can feel like a wandering. It can feel like the pieces aren't always getting put together. And what the psalm does is it acknowledges that, and it doesn't hide from that, but then it also just consistently proclaims and declares like the reality that God is still a God who loves us. God is still a God who is faithful to his promise.
Oh man, it's
And so
powerful.
I don't know exactly, you know, like the exact point that we'll get to, but all of this stuff will eventually get us to a place where we can say, despite the things that don't make sense to me, despite the things that are hard to me, God is still good. And I hope that it's a message that that like the non-Christian can hear too. Like I hope that it gives us the vocabulary, like us here at St. Andrews, to be able to talk to like our non-Christian friends
That's
or those
a
who are
great
struggling.
focus.
You know
That's
what
a
I
great
mean?
focus. Yeah, that'd be super helpful.
Because there, I just have in mind that like that the atheist or the skeptic who reads some of the things in the scriptures and says, how could your God allow like these things happen in the scriptures? How could your God allow these things to happen in the world? Like all these horrible things going on. How can you still say that God is good? And I hope through this we come away confident that we still can say God is good, and kind of have a response to that, either for ourselves or for our brother or sister who needs to hear it. So
Yeah, and I also think it helped that what you're talking about. The thing I hear you saying is it kind of helps avoid the also the very trite answer. And so often I think Christians give a trite answer to things.
yeah.
And I remember my wife was working on her degree in speech and hearing science and spending time in a nursing home, and they had a older guy there who came in, and he was a nice guy and wanted to read the word with people and stuff. But like someone asked a really tough question, he just held up his Bible and said, "Well, all the answers are in here." And there's a woman whose like husband had dementia and was really hurting, and she said, "Well, I don't feel like those are my answers. I'm just struggling." And he kind of said, "Well, they just got to read this. It's all in here." And I thought that what a cruddy way to address someone's real pain, you know? Just acknowledge with them that it's tough. It's okay. It doesn't mean that God's word's not
Exactly.
true. You know, God's word speaks to the pain too.
So yeah, I think that's exactly where we're gonna kind of live in those waters this weekend. Yeah,
The
man.
other thing you said that struck me was that that journey shouldn't have taken him 40 years. And like this, I'm coming up on or kind of just gone through my I'm on my 23rd year of being a pastor now. I'm getting started with that, and man, there's so many things that shouldn't have taken me this long to figure out about being a pastor. And I don't know. I just feel like I can relate to that. This shouldn't have taken so long. Why? Right? If I've been something, but a lot better if I figured this out about 20 years ago, it would have been really good. You know?
The wilderness of your pastoral
No,
formation.
absolutely. And a lot of it is self-imposed, believe me.
Oh
Just
man,
but
that's great. Well, actually,
yeah.
speaking of, so you're coming into your 23rd year.
Yeah.
This is just kind of interesting. Today is July 20th, which is the
That's
day I
right.
was installed and ordained
The big day,
at St. Andrews.
the
So
day
it's
you
been exactly
became
1 year.
Pastor Ethan. Exactly.
Yeah,
Well, it's
man.
been,
So it's kind of cool.
that's why it feels like it's been 3 months and it feels like it's been 7 years all at the same
Yes, I
time, you
yeah, I
know?
completely agree. So
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Well, hey, well, let me pray for in your preparation here, brother.
please do, man.
Yeah, Lord God, thank you so much for Pastor Ethan. Bless him with safe travel too. Bless everybody's safe travel at the convention. Be with them, give them wisdom and guidance and courage. And help them to make just choices that are pleasing to you as we look as our synod walks together in faith. What a blessing to have such a great synod. We pray for Pastor Ethan, ask that you would be with him as he's planning the sermon. Thank you for what you already put on his heart. And Lord, thank you for as we talk about it, just the kind of excitement I feel about listening to his words. And just be with him as he once again goes in to stand in the gap to preach your word to the people. And Lord, we thank you for the mighty, mighty ways in which you use him to impact the lives and the souls of so many people and make that true once again this weekend. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, brother. Well, and enjoy Phoenix. I did make the joke to the congregation that if anybody's at a conference in July in Phoenix, it's probably a church conference. So
there we go. Or martial arts. There is a martial arts conference here too.
Oh, so man.
It's hard to distinguish. It's hard to distinguish the pastor from the martial artist.
You look like you can be tell. Both. You could be both. You're a solid young man.
You're too kind.
Yeah, brother. All right, man. Well, St. Andrews, we'll see you.
See you guys.